Well, Esther was named Queen Esther. Mordecai kept in touch with Esther. And Mordecai's kind of an interesting fella. It's kind of like he's always everywhere. Mordecai just happens to be outside the city gate at the time that he happens to overhear a plot to assassinate King Xerxes. Talk about being at the right place at the right time. Oh, he saves that little tidbit for an opportune moment. So he goes and tells Queen Esther about this, who then, of course, in turn told the king. And those planning the assassination were executed. Well, a king's work is never done. As I read this story, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the king all day long either decides who he's going to execute or what kind of banquet or something like that that he's going to honor someone. And on a particular day, the king woke up and realized that it was time to honor Haman. Now, Haman was his loyal and steadfast right-hand guy. And it was a proper thing to do as the king designated someone in which to be honored, that the whole village would then pay homage to him. And the way to do that would be then to bow before him as you pass the city gate. Well, Mordecai wouldn't do this. No. Mordecai would not bow before Haman because he knew how Haman felt about the Jewish people. Well, Haman vowed to get Mordecai because everybody else had bowed before him, and look how that humiliated him. But Haman was all about Haman. And if he was going to do something, he was going to do it in such a way that it's going to be big. And so he wasn't just going to get rid of Mordecai, well, he'd just get rid of the whole race. And he set out to do just that. So Haman had this intention and began to just silently plot how he was going to do that. Now, Mordecai got wind of this and told Queen Esther about the plot to annihilate the Jews. And he reminded her, hey, hon, that includes you too. And listen to what Esther replies. Because Mordecai is telling her, you've got to do something. And she says, you can only appear before the king if you are summoned. Now I want you to hear what Mordecai says next, because it's wonderful. But who knows? Perhaps you came to such a royal position to save your people. In other words, Esther, I don't know how out of all the ladies in the land, you were the one chosen to be the queen, but look what this does for you. Look what opportunity this is for you to save your people. This is your purpose. Have you ever thought about that back on your life? Maybe all of the things that you endured, all of the things that you experienced, brought you to experience this certain moment. I know I have. As an itinerant United Methodist pastor in all the towns I've served because of that, and all the people I've experienced because of that, it's brought me and prepared me for this moment. You don't have to be an itinerant preacher to know the same thing is true for you. So here is Esther. And she's sending a reply back to Mordecai saying, okay, I'm going to join you in fasting to God to deliver our people. Let us all fast, she said. And I will go to the king even though it's against the law for me to go before him, to appear before him without a summons to do so. And then listen to her courage. And she said, and if I perish, I perish. So Esther got busy. She decided to implement her own little plan, her own little plot to win the king's favor. So she planned a feast to outdo all feasts. She invited the king and the dreadful Haman to come to this feast. And after being honored by the queen in such a fashion, it was the king's normal pattern then to ask her what was her request. And you know what her request was? She's such a smart cookie. She says, oh, only to come to another feast. Ladies, are you taking notes? Well, he'd be fine with that. And as they were leaving the feast, Haman happened to see Mordecai there at the gate. See, I tell you, Mordecai's always just hanging around. And of course, Mordecai refused to bow before him again, so Haman ordered a super large gallows to be built for Mordecai. That night, the king couldn't sleep. I guess he ate too much. And he did something that sometimes we do when we're having trouble sleeping. He began to pick up something to read and hope that you'll just finally get dozy and go off to sleep. Well, if you're the king, what you read is your diary. Yes, kings had diaries. They called them the Chronicles. In fact, a couple of the books in our Old Testament are indeed called the Chronicles. And as he was reading, he just happened to come to the day where he had recorded that Mordecai had uncovered this plot to kill him. You know, I don't know how that just kind of slipped his mind, but it did. And here is his own diary reminding him at an opportune time, I might say. But he realized that Mordecai was never honored for this. So he summons up Haman and he goes, okay, there's this fella that, you know, really saved my life. What should I do to honor him? But he never mentions Mordecai's name. And so Haman says, well, king, what you do is you bring out the best robe and you put on him and you give him the finest horse. You do that. And then you have a whole village come out and pay homage to him, bow before him, treat him with respect and dignity. Okay. And you know what's coming. Then Haman realized it's Mordecai that he's just given this whole plan for. He cringed at the idea that he was the one that was going to have to put the robe on Mordecai. That he was the one that was going to have to go out to the stables and get the finest horse and bring for Mordecai. Poor Haman. Can you just see him shuffling home, opening the door, and telling his wife, I have had the lousiest day. I mean, can you just see him doing that? Sure you can. So there's the wife, and she's saying, now, there, dear. And he calms down. And so he goes back. It's time for Esther's banquet number 2. The king and Haman come into the banquet. The king asks Esther her wish, and she just spills it. She told him about the plot to kill Mordecai, the one that he had just honored, and all his race, including her, his queen. The king flew into a rage and ran to his garden to calm down. And at this moment, knowing that she has got Haman right where she wants him. The king is enraged that someone would try to annihilate not only his wife, but the entire race that she belongs, because he loves Queen Esther. And he runs out to the garden, and he's just trying to just calm down, pacing amongst the roses. And he comes back in just at the moment that Haman has fallen all over Esther begging forgiveness. I'm telling you, you can't read anything better than this, folks. And listen to what the king says. And I got to read it because I want to make sure I say it just right. There we go. Where are we? Will you even molest the queen while she is in my house? To the gallows. Off to the gallows you go. And yeah, you got it. He was hung on the very gallows that he had constructed for Mordecai. And the Jewish people were delivered from their doom. Isn't that a great story? It does read like a fairy tale somewhat. I mean, it's got your kings and your queens and your killings. And I mean, it's got just about everything. But what truth has it got for you and me today? Well, I found several interesting things that I can certainly apply to my life. And I hope you can too. The first is, and it fits in beautifully with what Sherry was teaching with the children a while ago about service. Humble faithfulness can lead to huge responsibilities. Whether it's in baptizing a child, and you and I stand in honor of that child, and we say we are going to spend our lives in living in such a way, showing you the way of service, showing you the way of faith, showing you the way of love, that you are going to grow to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and be happy to serve Him. Or whether it's humbly accepting a place of leadership in the community, or as an officer on the council of this church. Making decisions which shape the life of all of God's children. Or whether it's a part of shaping with such impactful decisions that you shape the history of Asbury United Methodist Church. Faithful leadership comes with huge responsibilities, and if there's one thing I've learned, leaders are givers, and givers need to be leaders. May God bless us in our acceptance of the challenges He offers us. You see, Esther humbly accepted the challenge. I mean, she had really gone from little peasant Jewish girl and put on some pretty makeup, and suddenly she's queen. But I think out of all the women that put on the pretty makeup, King Xerxes must have seen her inner beautiful spirit. Involvements play a major role. Our involvement plays a major role in shaping the destiny of that which we are involved. See, weakness can be strength, but it only becomes strength when we focus our faith and trust in God. Because on our own, all we can see and feel and touch and do is within our own weakness. But with God, He sees it as opportunity to shape, develop, and focus our purpose. Secondly, faithfulness to God and to His people can be expressed even when out of our comfort zone. Perhaps expressed more emphatically out of our comfort zone. For instance, as a pastor, there have been times that I've had to go into the prisons and minister, unfortunately, perhaps to a member of the church or an extended family member, or to just go and just be a part of a devotional time or praise time. Asbury's own prison ministry does this on a regular, wonderful, blessed way. And sometimes it's not particularly comfortable, but it becomes comfortable because you don't have your eyes and your mind focused any longer on your physical surrounding, but on what God has called you to do and the way God can bless the experience. And suddenly, wherever you are as church, Jesus said, when you clothed the naked, fed the hungry, and visited the sick, and came to visit those in prison, so you did it to me. Matthew 25:38. So even if we find ourselves momentarily feeling like we're the odd man out of a certain surrounding, we're in the right place at the right time to give Christ to someone else. And finally, giving of oneself in service is always rewarded by God. And is done so in the most unexpected and marvelous ways. When Mordecai found out that not only he, but everyone he had ever loved and known of his Jewish people in that village were about to be killed, he did what any faithful Jew would do as they're appealing to God for deliverance. He mourned in sackcloth and ashes. He prayed and he fasted. Esther declared with full belief, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Because it's the right thing to do. And if I perish, I perish." Even though service to others, we know, involves some sacrifice of our time. Yes, there might be things you'd rather do, but this is something that will bless your life more than what you thought you'd rather do. The king couldn't sleep, so he just happened to read in his chronicles that night about Mordecai. In faith, do we believe God is directing us and opening our eyes to see things around us the way they should be seen? Or are we saying it's just coincidence? And it just happened to be that way. And it was the luck of the draw. My friends, Christians don't deal with luck. Christians deal with faith. Amen? Amen. I want to hear amen. Amen. Thank you. I don't do that to you too often, but thank you. Because that was an amen moment. Think about it. Being faithful to God. Not for just the rewards you might get, and you will get them. Not just because you feel the duty or responsibility to do so. But because in faith you feel led to. You hear and feel the difference? Duty, calling. Supposed to, desire to. It's hard. We live in a world that tugs at us all the time to give it attention, to conform to its direction. We're in that constant struggle, conflict. That's a good thing. Because if you're noticing, everywhere we are right now, those bulbs have sprouted and they're just struggling to get through the earth. And it's that struggle, you see, that makes the stem strong, reaching for the sunlight. And in that struggle, they bloom and they're strong and they give beauty thanks be to God for the struggle, and I think we forget to do that. I know I do at times. Thanks be to God for the struggle, because in there we find our strength. God knows it. And God delights in surprising us in wonderful, marvelous ways. Just hang in there with me. It's coming. You're going to be so incredibly blessed, you're not going to believe it. And that's why it's called faith, because sometimes it's just not explainable. My friends, Queen Esther was something else. She started out as that humble little peasant girl, but she had an inner beauty and an inner strength that far surpassed her physical looks, because those kind of, you know, they change over time. For all of us. But that inner strength, that inner purpose, just gets more beautiful and more defined over time. And that's the goal. To be that beautiful daughter or son of God's. Fulfilling and living out His purpose. Esther's taught me that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.